How many of you know that everybody will understand the call of worship one day? The Bible states that that every knee will bow. So that we have one positive determination that every knee, every person that's ever been born will stand one day at judgment time and bow and worship the only true God. I don't say they'll raise their hands and sing and shout. The very definition of the word worship in the Bible in the original text is to get on your knees and lick your master's hand like a dog. That's the very definition of the word worship. Now we've added to that, thank goodness, because that's not a great picture for me, and I like our added definition. But think about that in the last day, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Whether they want to or not, they're going down and they're answering at least that one call or those two calls. Amen? Our job is to know the simple parts of our calling and to move on to a better or higher echelon of calling. Amen? So, this will be the fourth part of this. If you're looking for tapes or notes or whatever, for eye-catching title, it's just number four. All right? Let's go over some more basic facts about a little more advanced calling other than just being saved. Okay? If you feel a call to teach or to preach or to evangelize or to minister in any way more than just serving God in a time of not sinning, if that's your definition, let's go to that level. Okay? A. One of the things that you will understand is you are partially... No, that's not a way to say it. You are called according to natural talents. Many times we're taught by churches that you're called and God completely changes you. And to a certain extent, that's correct. He does change you. But did you know that He's smart enough to have known you before the foundations of the earth, knew what He was going to call you to do, and design your personality and your natural talents, and then call you to those, or use those in your calling? Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you have a mechanical ability, He can call you and use that ability. If you have a business, if you just have a business head on you, by the way, it's not because you're so brilliant. It's because God gave that to you. And He gave it to you for a reason, to use in the kingdom of God. It's a calling. There's a kind of a, y'all ever heard of the word common sense? I don't want to use horse. Common sense, just an ability just to figure things out better than most. And you just look at people and say, why didn't you figure that out? It's so simple. It's 2 + 2. Kind of a practical ability to apply to life. God will call you and use that talent. And by the way, He embellishes it as time goes on. There are two types of, as you move on in life, I guess you could call there's three types. There's some people that don't need glasses at all. And then there's some nearsighted, and there's some farsighted. Y'all know that? And we got great abilities to adjust that. But did you know, even in that, if you will look at that, you will understand part of your calling. Your very vision will explain to you part of your calling. And I'm not going to get into real deep details about this. We'll get into it later on. But I can tell you somebody, my wife just doesn't understand. She rides along in the car, and her vision's good. Every time she gets an eye test, everything's fine. You don't need glasses. But you put... Even with my glasses on, I can look way down the road. And I can read a street sign before she can see the street sign. It's part of my calling. Farsightedness is part of my calling. You have any idea what I'm talking about? It really is. And nearsightedness, there's nothing wrong with it. It's part of a calling. How about analytical? You can just analyze things. You can just figure things out so easy. You can walk into an electrical panel, or you can walk into a problem in an automobile, or a situation in a building project, or whatever, and it's so easy. Did you know that you can be called to war? See, one of my biggest problems is I'm I'm a warrior. If you want to fight, you'll understand. I'm a warring type of soul. And it just goes cross-grained to the loving type of souls. But they don't understand that all of it is a calling from God. How many of you will remember that I've said this over and over, that a human's greatest mistake is to try to make people in your likeness and image? You're called into God's likeness and image, which is all of the personalities and all of the talents and all of the callings. Amen? So a little word of advice. Quit trying to change me. If God hadn't been able or doesn't want to do it all these years, please don't think you're bigger than God. Give me your advice. Give me your love. Give me whatever you got. But please, don't try to put me back on the potter's wheel and remold me. And I won't do it to you, okay? Because you won't like what I try to turn you into. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. Now, I just listed a few. You can think of a lot of things that God has used, that you have, that God uses. Could be a speaking ability. Could be ability, just a conversational ability. You can move in and strike a conversation, which I can't do that. I don't have that ability. I'd much rather see than talk. It's much more fun. Now, along with these natural talents that you have and that God uses in your calling, He will add unnatural talents to you, unnatural to you. How do I know that God's got a call? One, He uses my natural abilities that He's given. Two, He gives me some unnatural talents to me, unnatural. How they work? How do they work? For instance, just because I can see with a flesh eyeball way down the road doesn't mean that necessarily that I'm required to see spiritually way down the road, even though I think they're tied together. But when I begin to see in the Spirit way down the road, it changes me. A calling will change me first. It affects me the most and changes me first. Two-edged sword, remember? You draw it back, it cuts you before you swing it anywhere else. Some of the unnatural talents we're talking about. Discernment, prophetic, a speaking ability, and the peace therein, wisdom, healing, understanding. You know, sometimes God gives you these things and you go, whoa, I am impressed. Right? That's an unnatural talent. That's why you're so impressed. You know, if God walked in here today and handed you a hammer and a saw, you wouldn't be greatly impressed. But if He calls you to build something that's way beyond your ability, now you're impressed. That's the unnatural talent that He gives you. It changes you. You'll be amazed. These abilities will increase your faith. Most of all, these abilities will add to the kingdom. Just remember. Remember the four things we talked about last time about a calling? You'll never fulfill a calling unless you know who you are, whose you are, what you have, and who it is for. Okay? So every ability you have and every unnatural or unusual or supernatural ability that you receive, it will be for who? God and the kingdom. All right. How else will I know? Others that know you will be amazed. Others that have known you for quite a while, recognizing the change, will be amazed. These abilities that God gives you, now listen carefully. Most of the time when we have an ability, it makes us more independent. The more talented I am, the wiser I am, the more perfect I am, the less I need you. God's abilities will make you more dependent. That's part of God's calling. I promise you, if you've ever been called, if you ever have a calling on your life or ever intend to, you better understand this. It will make you more dependent on Him and His people. It will not make you more independent. It will make you more dependent. That's God's design. So the more that you... See, remember, get the picture now. You are amazed at what God can do through you. But it doesn't make you big-headed. You go, wow, God, this is cool. And then inside of you, you feel more attached than ever before. And you feel more and more that if it wasn't for God, I'm lost as a goose. God's callings and abilities will diminish you and exalt God. Listen to me carefully. This is very important. Satan was a highly called individual. What happens with God's callings? Does he just take them back at a moment's notice? He doesn't do that, does he? So there's more than just a calling we're talking about. We're talking about an obedience in the calling, a trueness in the calling, and knowing who it's for in the calling. Amen? If not, God can give a mighty, mighty calling and ability, and you will misuse it. And here's how you'll know if it's right. If you're exalted, it's not of God. If it's for you, it's not of God. Will you benefit? Absolutely. Please don't hear me say that you won't benefit. You will. But if it's about you, if it's for you, if it exalts you, it's not of God. In Habakkuk 1:5, the scripture says, look among the nations and watch. You called people of God. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, you called, highly called people of God. Be astounded. For I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told you. Now one more time, I'm going to remind you. Who is most astounded at your calling? You are. Because you know most of all that you're not worthy. That you're not able. Most of all, you know you don't even want to do it. And you're astounded. Here's one that some will relate to more than others. You will be required to move from your comfort zone. With every calling comes a move. I shouldn't say every calling. With every advanced calling comes a move. You can be saved and never moved. Genesis 12:1-3 says this. Genesis 12:1-3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you, once you move, a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. As soon as you move, you'll move away from your close friends and family. And let me tell you something. This is a combination. The tighter your friends and family are, and the higher your calling, the further you got to move. You got to get out of reach. Just think about that. That's not a wild statement I'm saying. You're giving up the control of all other influences. Family is a very strong one. And the only way you're going to do that is to move where God can have control. Mark 6:4 says this. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. So, the higher the calling, the greater the type of move. And by the way, that's not just geographical. Please don't hear me just say geographical. A move can be right where you are. It can be a tremendous, you can have a 9 on the Richter scale earthquake right in the middle of your spiritual house. To make your entire vision change, to make everything you understand change. Now what that will do is cause a relationship break many times, which is still a move. And by the way, which requires the greater faith? To stay where you are, do what you're doing, or get up and move? So the first step of faith in a calling is to do what God tells you to do, whatever move that is. If it's just moving in speech, moving in song, moving in your daily schedule. I'm going to start reading different. I'm going to start praying at different times. I've got to do something different. Y'all remember my definition of a fool, right? Y'all don't remember? Someone that does the same thing over and over again expects a change. Okay. In this calling, I will guarantee you this. Don't mean to encourage you out of your socks today, but you will be tested. You will be tested. I promise you that the higher the calling, the greater the test. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive his inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. That's a step of faith, guys, just to take off and not even know where you're going. And by the way, let's just brag on ourselves just a little bit. Don't hurt. I'll pat you on the back because you came along. When God says move, we literally made the plans to move. We had a lot more to get rid of than most. I mean, we had an auction that took a very long day with a very good auctioneer. I mean, we had 400 or 500 items, and many of those were bulk items. Pallet loads of stuff, just auction and auction and auction. It was quite an auction. It covered several acres of land. And then we said, okay, where are we going, God? What are we going to do? He said, and eventually, shortly, he said, you're going to Denver. Okay, we're going to Denver. What are we going to do in Denver? Well, just go. Okay, we're gone. Where are we going to live? Don't know. Where's the money going to come from? Well, the big CEO does the transfer. He has to pay the bills. So, we're out of here. He provides, believe me. I could go on for a long time. You will be tested. Here's what the tests are about. How many of you know that God knows what you'll do and what you won't do? So the test, any test that comes your way is not greater than your ability. We don't want to hear that, do we? I don't want to hear that at all. I'm going to mumble just a little bit. Any test that I ever go through is not greater than my ability, because that's a promise from God that He won't out-test my ability. Who's it for? If He already knows, who's it for? It's for you, isn't it? The whole idea of a test is to let you know what you can do and what you will do and how fast you'll do it. But here's what the test proves. Will you do what God asks? How far will you go? How fast will you go? Will you do what God asks? How far will you go? How fast will you go? Then, understand this. The test will not be for one time. I got some news for you. As long as you intend to receive and get the promotion of God, you must receive the tests of God. Nothing beyond your ability ever. They will be common, not scarce. But let me make you a promise. If you respond to God correctly, every one will be rewarding, and every one you will have bigger faith, stronger faith than you had before. And the only thing that pleases God is faith. Amen? So just picture this. God calls you. He tests you. You pass the test, and you feel great about it. This is the scenario. This is the formula that God gives us. He calls us, scares the fire out of you with a calling. Gives you time to kind of settle back and stop hyperventilating and stop worrying. And then the test comes, and here you go hyperventilating again. And all of this is for one purpose, and that's to encourage you and to strengthen you. So you thought it was to fulfill His calling. Well, sure, that's a secondary thing. But by the way, you're not the only one He could have called. So He did it for you. When He said, Stan, I want you to take the church. See, it took me a little while, but I thought, oh, well, I know. You knew I wouldn't think this way. But that's because I'm so wise and so brilliant. And I have so much to give you. And you just need to stand basking in my presence. When in reality, it's for me. Nobody's learned more from this experience than I have. And nobody's received more from this experience than I have. And I can thank God for every pain that's ever sat in one of these chairs. I've sat in a couple of them. So, are you understanding what I'm saying? I can thank God for every test because it draws me closer, makes me smarter, makes me more determined. Amen? Titus 1:15, to the pure, everything is pure. Okay. Now, Another little scary statement, but don't worry about it. Nothing's ever proposed to you that you're not able to do. All that God asks will be beyond you. God will never ask you to do something you can do. You'll just know to do what you can do. Exodus 3, verse 9 through 12. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I've also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. That's a call. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? You got the wrong character, God. You need to clean your glasses. So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. What should be the sign? That I'll be with you. Well, God, why don't you just go do it, and I'll stay over here and I'll know it's you. I know none of us have ever said that before. Just thought it. He said, I will be with you. The only way you can be with somebody is if they're going someplace or staying someplace. And God didn't say, stay here and I'll be with you. He said, go and I'll be with you. So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. Number one, if you can do it alone, you don't need God. If you can do it alone, you don't need God. If you can do it alone, you get the glory. That's number two. If you can do it without God, you get the glory. That's why he never asked you to do anything that you can do, because then you would take the glory. Always, 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 everything that God does, if you will do it, it will build faith. And here's the rough one. Number four. If you misuse it, it will destroy. Any calling of God that is misused will destroy. We get the idea sometimes that God's power that he gives us can only do good, and that's not true. It's not true. When God gives you an ability, when he gives you a calling, he gives you ability. When he gives you ability, he gives you power. But you can destroy with that, or you can choose you this day, life or death, blessings or curses. It's your choice. He made the choice giving you that. He has a lot of confidence in us. He really does. So much that he gives us a choice. Here's another one that's a little rugged. In the call, in the calls, in the calling, in the anointing, in the directing, your life will always be changing. Any of you that feel real comfortable right now, you're in the wrong place, as you can see. There's a lot of people that seek comfort. God is not a comfortable God. He's a sure God. Surely understand that you will surely be changing. Number one, comfort promotes laziness. Proverbs 24, verse 33. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Well, see, I deserve this rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. What is God saying here? I didn't call you to retirement. I didn't call you to rest. I didn't call you to comfort. I called you to work. And my Social Security system says that at 65, if you sit down, poverty will come. Now, the only reason I can tell you that is because my wife and I made great plans for retirement. And one day, just out of the blue, God says, you're not retiring. Okay. So our life changed again. It will continue to change. I can expect that. Here's why. Number two, change requires faith. That's why rest is bad for us, because it doesn't require any change and doesn't require any faith. Anybody can do this. Anybody can do that. And a lot of bodies do. Change requires faith, and that is what pleases God. Another one. And this is very important. And I wish I could get by with this myself, because it doesn't make any difference. I don't need to tell you. You'll know why. A calling of God leads others to change, or requires others to change. God never calls you to make people comfortable. He never called you to make someone comfortable. He called you to tell them the truth. Probably the hardest thing that I've had to learn in the last number of months, even though I said it long before then. You know, the learning process is the pain and the glory. That's the learning process. A calling of God requires others to change. Number one, it requires continuous change from you, because you haven't got the right to ask somebody else to change if you're not changing. Number two, it puts pressure on those around you to change. Ooh, that's a bad one. I had somebody tell me this last week. I just feel like you put pressure on me all the time to change. Can't call you a liar on that one. I said, I've said from this place openly that God puts pressure on me to change, and I'm not going through this by myself. I've said that over and over. I'm not trying to hide a thing. God will get me in the corner and beat up on me a little bit. Now, I say that positively, not negatively. He causes change in me through conviction and correction. And here's what I do. I just come dump it on you. Number three, this calling and our changing causes change in the kingdom. How many of you know that God is not satisfied with His kingdom at this moment? And you are actually called to change. Now, I've shared this with you before. It's a flippant thing. But when my wife decides to change the furniture, I get upset. I may like it better when she's finished, but it's going to take me a while to tell her that, and I probably may never. I don't like change. You take me to a clothing store, and she says, you need to go try these pants on, I throw a little baby fit. I don't like the change. I found out that if I sleep on the same side of the bed all the time, I'll begin to get headaches because I sleep so sound and sometimes so crooked. And so I'll say, and I don't like this, but I'll say, it's time to switch sides of the bed, and we'll switch. God won't even let me sleep on the same side of the bed all the time. I won't let her. I don't know who he's trying to bug, but anyway, it's causing the change all the time. Number four, change contributes to more faith in God. Every time God says, I want you to do something different, you're going to say, I don't know how, and He's going to say, right. Change anyway. Trust me. I will be there with you. That's what He said in the Scripture up here. I will be there. Don't worry about it. I'll go with you. A calling of God causes a hunger for the things of God. This is good. This one is a positive, very positive thing. A calling of God in a person causes a hunger for God. Psalms 42, verse 7. Deep calls unto deep. Are you hearing me? Deep calls unto deep. If you know, if I know, please, can I just tell you something? Rest in this. If you know that God has called you to something, rest in the fact that deep is calling unto deep. Who's the deep here? God. Who's God calling to? You or to Him? Understand? Deep is calling to deep. Nobody's called to me, and I'm not called to you, but the God in you I'm called to. And if you are answering the call, you are answering God. God is actually calling to Himself through you. Rest in that fact. It's not a work that you're doing. The responsibility of the call is not on you. God is calling through you. You just have to have a little obedience. Number one, a calling is regenerating a cycle. Why are you called? Whatever the calling is in your life, you're called because without you, there's going to be a void in the cycle. There's more children come along. There's more generations coming along. And God needs you in this particular point, or somebody after you hurts. Your calling brings the knowledge of God to people. It brings the salvation of God to people. Understand this. I don't care what your calling is. I don't care if it's the biggest mouth prophet in the world or the diaper changer. I don't care. Whatever you think the highest and lowest is, your calling will call people to God. And it will give them their first glimpse of salvation and possibly their last glimpse. So you are very important in the kingdom of God. A hunger. Let me say it this way. When somebody, listen to me, if you're not here, you need to cry out to God. People need to look at you and be able to say, I want what they have. I want what they have. And if they're not saying about you yet, make them say it. Seek God. That's the hunger you want. When you see that happening, if it's a calling of God, when you see people drawn to you, that's the way it'll look like. Understand and know this, that the faith in you is being built in God, not yourself. You will know if it's a calling of God. You know that when people start responding to you, it is to God, and you feel less powerful than you've ever felt before, or more dependent upon God than ever before. A hunger for the things of God causes death of self, which that's what you're going to teach in your calling, whatever that is. You're going to teach death of self. It's going to birth the life and the power of God in somebody and you. I'm trying to put the reasons for the calling of God. It births the life and the power of God in you and therefore in other people. How many of you know that the life of God revealed causes hunger? The life of God revealed causes hunger. Give God praise for that. Give God praise when you see it happening in your life. Don't ever think that you did it. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. The new what? The new God. Did you know God is new every morning? The new has come. By the way, the minute God gets old with you, he will look old to others. The minute he gets stale and boring with you, he looks stale and boring to others. That's good. Ought to put a smile on your face often. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, a calling of God in you creates a hunger for God, right? It brings forth more callings. It's kind of, if I could draw a picture or make a picture of holding God on a string, just waving him in front of you like candy. When you begin to move to him, towards him, out of hunger, callings are revealed in your life. Not just yours, but everybody that is drawn to God, callings will be revealed in those people. We make the cycle again. You'll start seeing salvation. You'll start seeing faith built. You'll start seeing dominion and love and power. Miracles will follow. You'll cast out demons. This is according to the Bible. These are the things that you start seeing. Now, I did something very good today. I kept it semi-short. I know you all appreciate that. Here's what I need to tell you. As I speak to you, I want to make callings look good, but I want you to understand they have requirements. There's nothing better than a call from God. Don't care what anybody says. There's nothing better than a call from God. Because all of a sudden you really begin to realize it's not you anymore. Now God, listen to me. God has put himself on the line. He hasn't put you on the line. He's put himself on the line. Because with every calling, he does the empowering. So he literally, through his word and through his call, has put himself at risk. He has exposed himself. How? He trusted you. That's how he's exposed himself. So, before we ask for any more callings of God, before we seek any more power and authority through callings of God, let's make sure we understand that we expose Him with these prayers and with these faith moves. I want God to look good. How about y'all? I don't want Him to look bad because of me. I need to know why I'm asking for a call. I need to know this, Harry. If God answers one of my prayers, what am I going to do with it? I need to have a semi-agenda. And once, God, You give this to me, and I start fulfilling it for Your honor and for Your glory, am I going to be faithful to give You continuously the glory? Am I going to always give You the glory? Once again, why, what for, who for? Before we ask for more, before we get more and have to have more power and more authority, once again, why, what for, who for, these questions. Do I want change no matter what the cost? Be careful. There's sometimes you shouldn't amen the preacher because it's a commitment that God hears more than the preacher does. Do you want change no matter what the discomfort? You just moved. Been easier to stay. It would have been easier to stay. Physically, financially, it's easier to stay. It's just easier to be where you're at. It's easier to stay on your side of the bed. It's easier to keep the furniture right where it's at. Small things, but just carry it on. Am I willing for God to cause change through me? Listen to this part. Am I willing for God to cause change through me, knowing it will alienate some that I care about? Knowing it will do that. I will state to you again. Knowing that it will alienate some. I didn't say maybe. You answer a call to God, believe me, friends, family, acquaintances, they're going to disagree with your calling. God would never use you. You're too stupid. He's not going to use you. You failed too much. He's not going to use you because I caught you in a lie 20 years ago. He can't use people like that. Well, who's left? Who's left? God's going to use what's available. And I'm the one that determines where I'm available, not my credentials or qualifications. He doesn't say how much schooling and how much perfection do you have. He says, hey, I want you. David, you're the man. My word, David disqualified himself on every turn. Jesus said, I said you. You're the man. When you finally get your head on straight, when you start listening to me, I'll show you how. God's call will cause change. The two most important things out of this, it will cause a change and a move. You must move towards Him. He's not coming to where you are. You're coming to where He is. And in that process, you're going to alienate some. Who are you going to alienate? Those that are comfortable. You will alienate those that have they've gotten very comfortable buried in the sand. And all they're waiting for is their head to be buried. I want to tell you something good about God. He ain't boring. He is not boring. He is not boring. God is calling all of us to higher calling. If you have been around here long enough, very long, you know what I'm telling you. There are tests and trials to prove that, but as He told Abraham, I'm going to be with you. As He tells every one of His servants that he calls and starts moving them in a direction, I'm with you. Don't worry about it. And this my soul knows very well. Because I tell it often. Why? Because it spends a lot of time telling me. And I have to respond. Let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. I must respond. We talked about that last night. There must be response. You cannot stand, don't stand and smile at me. That is not a response. That just makes me wonder what you're up to. That's the way God is. He says to you and I, will you? You go, and He literally says, what kind of response is that? I ask you a question. Give me an answer. Why? Because you need to hear the answer. He doesn't need to hear it. You need to hear it. I've been getting some weird pictures lately. I know you think that's unusual. But I wonder, God, mighty God, Jesus Christ, the one that has done and done and done for me, how many times he stands and looks at us and says, when are you going to stand up for me? When are you going to do that? How many times are you going to break my heart because you think that Christianity is all love and smiles and you won't stand up for me? It wasn't love and smiles when I walked down there pulling that cross and taking that whip and wearing that crown. It wasn't loves and smiles. I was standing up for you. I was working hard for you. I was being bold for you. And all I'm asking you to do is the same thing. The Scripture says, I want you to take up your cross and walk. Doesn't it say that? Man, that laid heavy on me today, this week, Harry. See, Jesus suffering for me, standing up for me, and all he says was, you do it now. You stand up for me. And quit dodging the bullets. I made you bulletproof. I paid for it right there on that road. When are you going to stand up for me? When are you going to answer the call that I'm putting on your life? Now, I didn't introduce it as such, but that was a word from God for you. I can tell you by the feel. That was a direct from heaven connection word from God. If you don't like my introductions, talk to God about it. If you want me to throw roses out and say, here's a word from God. Okay. Talk to him about it. We need to be sensitive enough to know when it's God talking. That's what we really need to be. Amen? I want you all to stand with me. I cut this short on purpose. I've been very long-winded in the past. Man, when you start dealing with the callings of God, I don't know where there's an end. I just get ready to do a few pages and it turns into many. And I chop them off and then it turns into many again. So, bear with me. I'm excited about this. I made a couple of notes and I don't even have the understanding. On the back of that page it says there are two specific types of calling. There's eternal. We'll go, maybe the next time we'll figure out what that means. An eternal calling and a physical calling. And I'm anxious to see where God's going to take me there. Amen? Been giving me some weird notes lately and I'm anxious to figure out what this is about. Very anxious in God. God, I'm anxious in you. I'm excited that I opened doors that could not be shut. I'm so excited. I want to raise your eyes just a second. I want to share something with you. This last week, God told me to call Steve Bundra. He told me one day, and I put it off to the next. You still probably don't understand that he is around us to be ministered to. There's a connection, a ministry connection there that's mostly in a correction mode rather than a pat on the back mode. When I called, how many of you would really do understand that Steve Bundra has a heavy call on his life? Okay, you must understand that. He wouldn't be so miserable to you and I if he didn't have that. but I called him in answer to God. And when I called, I said, how you doing? Oh, everything's fine, brother. How are things going? They're going great, and he started his lies. How many times do you and I lie to each other? He lied to me. He told me how great everything was. And I said, then I want to know why I hear something in your voice that says the opposite. And he started crying. He started crying. Now, a call comes with pressure. And the tests themselves...